He scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it looks corner to Aguilar. Aguilar in the left circle. Passing the yellow shot. Save made by Aguilar. Three bounce, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, happy Friday, and let's get things going this hour on Flames Talk. It is a Friday, August 16th. Steinberg along with you from Canyon Meadows. We're hanging out here for the Rogers Charity Classic, which got underway on this Friday. Always an absolute pleasure to be here at Canyon Meadows, and always a pleasure to be anywhere near the Rogers Charity Classic. Just an absolute gem of an event, and it is killing it again in 2024. It's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hopefully you are having a good week, and we've got a lot to dive into on this hour of Flames Talk. You know, Flames Talk had been on hiatus. This is our first week back, so we were gone for a month, which means it's been far too long since we've spoken to this next gentleman. It's a Friday, which means it is time to bring back the Eric Francis Hour here on Flames Talk. It's time to say hello to Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. The Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly. Eric joins us now on this Friday. Hello, Mr. Francis. How we doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic, my friend. I hope you had a great holiday. Well, I should ask you, did you have a great holiday?
It was quite good. It was nice R&R, nice time away from hockey. Had some good times overseas. It was a good time, my friend. But I'm also happy to be back. It is nice to be back and back into a groove at the same time. So good holiday, but awesome to be back on this side of the world.
Oh, that's good. It is. I would be remiss if I didn't mention right away, happy National Rum Day to all my fellow rummies. It is a day of celebration, a day to savor the finest nectar of the gods, and I plan on doing that in just a bit. But in the hockey theme, I'm on my way to look to pick up my son and three of his buddies. They're at a hockey camp all week in Lacombe.
Nice.
And so yeah, hockey's been off the brain for most of the summer, which is good. You need to get refreshed and right back at it. So let's talk some hockey, my man.
Well, it's crazy to think that we are about a month away from that Penticton Young Stars Classic, and then right after that, training camp well underway. The preseason's only about a month away. Like, it is right back upon us, and hockey season is knocking on the door. And you know, it's been a generally relatively quiet summer for the Flames, especially compared to the last two summers. And not like there's been nothing of significance that's happened this summer, but it's been a whole lot less than the prior two summers. But, you know, even in the last month, it's been quiet, but there's been some interesting things that have happened and some noteworthy things that have happened. So Dustin Wolf signed his new deal. He signs a two-year contract, and Oliver Shillington is officially a member of the Colorado Avalanche. Those two things have both happened in the last month, and both of them kind of interesting to talk about when it comes to implications and so on and so forth. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Shillington, or do you want to start with Dustin Wolf?
Well, let's start with Wolf, I guess. And just back to kind of your preamble there, like, nobody is happier about the fact that we can sit here and say it's been a quiet summer than Craig Conroy. Like,
yep.
Conroy, the entire front office staff, this is exactly what they dreamt of for this offseason. Obviously, they had work to do with the draft, and you had your typical signings that you had to get through, but nothing was of huge significance, and the distraction level at this point is very low, and that's something that they haven't been able to say for quite some time, probably a couple years for the Flames organization. So that's welcome for the team, but they got the work done that they needed to get done. Now, So maybe in that vein, let's start with Shillington, because that was one thing I think everybody thought would get done. and didn't get done.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. I was surprised. I bet you were surprised, too, based on conversations you and I have had with Oliver, the gratitude he had for the patience the organization has shown throughout his year and a half absence from the game, the compassion they showed him and, the patience did not go unnoticed. And I still don't think that just because he signed somewhere else doesn't mean he's not grateful for the way the Flames handled everything. But at the end of the day, business is business. And I still thought business was going to be just continuing on as normal. But I guess when you're a UFA and you've got an agent in your ear who's telling you certain things, you know, what you think you can expect. And I'm not suggesting that J.P. Barry, his agent, his agency, you know, was derelict in any way. But, you know, I think that I don't think it's played out the way that no one could possibly tell me that it's played out the way Oliver Shillington would have liked it to play out. Now, maybe he did want to go somewhere else for whatever reason. He just thought maybe I need a fresh start somewhere else, and I guess that's fair. But to do it at a cut rate, a rate that's far inferior to what the Flames would have paid him had he decided to accept their contract offer, and to do it in a city where there's no way you could tell me he's cracking that top four to start the season, or unless there's a significant injury or two, like it's not what he would have wanted. I'm okay with it for the Flames' perspective. There was risk involved with Oliver Shillington, and I think that signing Jake Bean instead is quite possibly the better way to go. But for Oliver Shillington, it's just an unfortunate series of events. Do you look at it the same way? Like, there's no way he could be sitting at home in Sweden right now going, well, that worked out exactly the way I hoped it would. I mean, it's just
probably not.
Yeah.
It's funny because I actually like the landing spot for him in terms of a team. He'll be really well insulated, as you talk about, when it comes, because he'll probably be playing a third pairing role there. And I think that'll be good for him in his first full season in a couple of years. And obviously you're playing on a team that's going to be a Stanley Cup contender. So, like, I like the landing spot, but you're right. I don't think there's any way that Oliver and his representation would have sat down in early June or late May and said, here's our free agency plan. It's going to be August 5th when you sign with Colorado for way less than your incumbent team is offering you. That definitely wasn't the way they drew it up. It has been a really strange saga because, you know, when he came back in late January and that really good story started playing itself out, you know, you had heard and I had heard and Ryan Leslie had heard, like, at different times we'd all heard, like, oh yeah, you know, it sounds like Oliver and the Flames are pretty close to getting something done, and nothing ever got done. It felt like it was close a number of times. I know that you had felt the same thing. That's, yeah, this thing feels like it's, you know, if it's not going to be tomorrow, it might be next week type thing. Never got done, and then all of a sudden we get to the summertime and it just keeps on dragging on and dragging on, and at no point until I got to the draft in Vegas, so it wasn't until late June, at no point did I feel like this was going to go any other direction than Oliver signing back with the Flames, and yet here it is. It was August 5th that he ends up signing in Colorado. So I think that there were a couple of unfortunate situations that happened on the Shillington camp side of things, just in that I think they were looking for one thing that didn't materialize, and then they were kind of caught in limbo land. And as you mentioned, EF, the Flames, when they didn't get the yes they were hoping for, went in a different direction. And you can't blame Craig Conroy for that, because they needed to sign a left-shot defenseman who could play in their top four. And if that wasn't going to be Oliver, well, there's Jake Bean, who wants to be here, is eager to play for the Flames, is eager to play in his hometown. And so the Flames kind of had to, once they didn't get the yes in time, they had to move on to plan B, or their contingency plan, or whatever you want to call it.
100%. And, you know, I don't think people will be disappointed in Jake Bean at all. I think there's tremendous upside. There's a great story there. He's a hometown kid. You know, like, there's lots to like about the move they made. And let's be frank here, like, about Oliver Shillington. Like, he had one really good season. Now, you could argue that he never really was given the opportunity to have anything more than a one one really good season. But, you know, the season before he didn't come back, you know, I think he had what? You probably got the stats up front. You always know the numbers right off the top of your head. 33 points or something like that. Like, he was really good. And it was a real eye-opener. Obviously, a breakthrough for him. It was his first full year as a Flame. And he really
31 points. 31 okay, points that year. Yep. Yeah.
And like 72 games or something. Like, it was a really feel-good story. And because remember, coming into camp, nobody was talking about Oliver Shillington. He was the version 3 years ago of Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil this year, whereas nobody went into camp talking about any of those guys really, you know, breaking through and cracking the lineup, and not just cracking the lineup, but playing a prominent role. So it was the speed that he had. Daryl Sutter loved the fit, and you got to give Daryl Sutter the credit for really giving the guy a chance and saying, look,
yep,
he needed someone who could push the pace and carry the puck up the ice and be that sort of player. He felt they didn't have a defenseman like that, and I don't think anyone else saw it, but Daryl did. Gave him the chance, and he broke through, and he paid the organization off. But, you know, it was really just 1 year, one body. His body of work was very small at the NHL level. So, again, I'm not privy to exactly what the numbers were. I've heard some different kind of things in terms of what the Flames were offering and what he wanted. But I can tell you that the Flames were offering a whole lot more than the $1 million he got from the Colorado Avalanche in a show-me contract. And that's just unfortunate for everybody involved. But, you know, let's also be very frank and honest, and I'd like your opinion on this too. Like, Oliver Shillington was a feel-good comeback story last year, no doubt about it. I was so happy every time I saw him, and he was smiling in the dressing room, and I'm like, God, you know, all the things that have gone on in his life, I'm just so happy to see him happy. And I think everyone was. But let's be frank, on the ice, I'm not sure there was a single game where we said, oh, wow, that's the Oliver we remember seeing 2 years ago, who really blew our socks off on some nights with his speed. Now, again, you're away from the game for a year and a half. Nobody really expected a whole lot. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that the brass maybe saw what they were hoping to see or even hints of it. Do you think that's fair? Like, do you think that's fair to say, like, we didn't see any sort of the Oliver Shillington that they would have wanted to sign moving forward? I'm not saying that's why they didn't sign him. It was his choice not to sign here. But I just didn't see anything that really blew anybody's socks off. Is that fair?
Yep, I think that is, and I think that is part of the reason why there was only a one-year contract on the table, because I think the Flames were looking at it. I think Craig Conroy was looking at it as, okay, we're so happy that you got back and finished the season and you played the 33 games with us this year. Like, it's awesome. We're so happy to have you back, and we're so happy that, you know, the worst of what was going on is behind you. And so we'd really like to have you come back. We still see you as a big part of the future, but because you only played the 33 games, because what you just said, Eric, is, I think, true, that there was never, it wasn't bad, it wasn't like he played poorly, but it wasn't the same Oliver Shillington that we had seen two seasons prior. There were moments that were really exciting. There were moments where he looked like, you know, he hadn't played in a year and a half. So I think if you're the Flames, you cautiously put a one-year deal on the table, see if we can, it was for more than the 1.05 that he signed for in Colorado. This is our one-year deal. And the message was all along, let's do this one-year deal now. Let's see how it goes. And then midway through this season, if it goes the way we all want it to go, your camp and us, then let's reconvene and start talking about a longer-term extension. That was always part of the planning side for the Flames, and that was always one of their messages when communicating. So, you know, I understand where the Flames are coming from on that front, because I think you're right. He didn't play poorly in my eyes and had some really nice moments, but no, I don't think that we consistently saw him play at the level from two seasons ago at all.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, I don't. It might sound harsh in retrospect, but, you know, listen, a top four defenseman in the NHL, in my eyes, like a guy who's proven himself as a top four, I think the minimum you're looking for is $4 million here. In my mind, it's a $5 million deal if you're a top four guy. I think he would have been penciled in to start the season as a top four guy in Calgary. I don't think there's much question about that if he had a good camp and all that. But they weren't willing to pay him in that $4 million range because he'd been off for a year and a half. And there were a lot of unknowns, not just his play on the ice, but his situation. There are unknowns. And so I think that everybody was trying to proceed cautiously, but in no way do I think anybody should criticize the Flames for not getting this deal done. At the end of the day, I think that the onus was on him to have agreed to what the Flames were willing to offer. I think it was obviously more than fair given what he ended up settling for. Mm-hmm. I know that he was going to sign for well over double the $1 million he's playing for in Colorado. So, hey, I don't know where he would have finished at the end of the year, too, in terms of being top four. You look at all these young guys, they want to take a real good good look at, and I'm not sure, you know, this would have been the year the Flames would have decided, is he a core piece moving forward as we do this rebuild, or is he not a core piece? And if not, then they wouldn't have re-signed him. So, anyway, now we have our answer, and there's a chance that Jake Bean ends up being one of the core pieces as they move forward. I know people will be excited to see, you know, how Jake Bean looks in a Flames uniform, former Hitmen fans and people who know him from around town. Listen, Jake Bean is, I can tell you character-wise, he's a spectacular young man. Like, mm-hmm. I think very highly of him, and I know around the NHL people do too. So I think I'm not willing to say it's an upgrade right now. Let's just see how their play, dictates that assessment. But, they move on. And, I hope things work out really well for Oliver. And I know everyone in Calgary feels the exact same way. Nobody wants bad things for Oliver Shillington. He's had a rough go. And I wish him the best. I wish him the best.
You know, it's funny you bring up Jake. We'll move on to Dustin Wolf in a second, but you bring up Jake Bean, and that's another thing that I think is really important in this entire conversation. And I think it applies a little bit to Oliver, because in the end, it's not that I don't think that he didn't want to be here and didn't want to stay in Calgary, but ultimately decided not to remain here and decided to chase something elsewhere. But I think one of the really important things as we go through this transitional phase, which is kind of just beginning, it's kind of year one. This past year, Craig Conroy had a lot of stuff to clean up and a lot of house cleaning. Now they can finally start this transitional phase to get them back to where they want to go. And during a stretch like that, especially with so many guys who have decided they didn't want to stay here in Calgary, Eric, I think having a guy like Jake Bean, I think having a guy like Ryan Lomberg, guys who eagerly want to be here and who really wanted to come be members of the Flames. I mean, you saw Jake Bean, like that guy was vibrating. He really wants to be a member of the Calgary Flames. He is thrilled to be playing for his hometown. I think there's a lot of value in that with the way things are shaping up here over the next few years for the organization.
I think that's well put. Like, you know, He wants to be here, and that's, you know, we've repeated this 100 times, but Craig Conroy said from day one, I only want guys who want to be here. And it's wild in it that we live in a world where there are guys in a sport that pays them millions and millions of dollars a year to play that just don't want to necessarily be in the environment that they're at. Like, it's hard to fathom, but for whatever reason, guys have, you know, you got to follow your heart too. So, and at the end of the day, it's a bit of a poker game when you're trying to negotiate a contract. Look, if the Flames had said, Oliver, we'll give you 1 year and we'll pay you $5 million a year, he'd still be a Calgary Flame. It's about trying to find that sweet spot in terms of the number and also the term. And it didn't sit well with Oliver that it was going to be a 1 year, I guess, and at the price that they were willing to offer. And so they move on. So, yeah, Jake Bean, there are going to be a handful of guys that are going to crack the opening night roster that have not been in Calgary before, but are really, really excited to get the chance to be there. And I think that's exciting for Flames fans to see too. Listen, the focus this year is going to be on all the new faces, not just in the roster and in the lineup, but, you know, down in the AHL and also down in junior, wherever all these young guys, that's the focal point now for Flames fans moving forward. It's not like, yeah, they're going to debate who should play on the first line, the third line, all this. But the real talk will be, well, where does, Parikh, where does he fit into the lineup, you know, down the road? How is this guy progressing in the AHL, Brustavich, this year? When's he ready to get called up? Like, it's a totally different focus than in the 30 years I've been in Calgary. Nobody's looked, even when the Young Guns days were on, and I was around for those dark days, even then, there wasn't the internet. You couldn't watch AHL games either live or even on the internet back then. So people will be watching so closely these guys from afar. And that is that's kind of a new wrinkle in Calgary, which I'm kind of looking forward to. It's kind of a breath of fresh air.
I agree. I agree for sure. We're chatting with Eric Francis. The Eric Francis Hour on this Friday. Flames Talk. Steinberg and Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. And then the other piece of news that had happened while we were gone and while the Eric Francis Hour was on hiatus was that Dustin Wolf signing. Wolf signs a 2-year contract extension with the Flames. And, you know, it ends up coming in under $1 million on the AAV. And the thing that I was initially surprised at, Eric, was the fact that they were able to get a two-way in year one for Dustin, because I thought that might be the one pushback from the Wolf camp, was to see if they could go one way the entire way. Well, they get a one-way in year two and a two-way in year one, which is comparable to a lot of other contracts, Archer Seelovs, and definitely the Anaheim goaltender, Dostal, very similar-looking contracts as to the one that Dustin Wolf signed. But it just it brings up the question now, okay, Dustin's entering his first full season in the NHL, or at least what we believe is going to be his first full season in the NHL. What does that look like? And it's the position that is going to be the most intriguing one, I think, all year long for this Flames team.
Agreed. And, you know, I can't disagree with the notion that a lot of eyebrows were raised when he was signed to that 2-year deal. Look, everyone knew he was going to get, you know, probably a 2-year deal. It was going to be for close to the league minimum. And I think the only question was one way or two way. And I think a lot of people were surprised that it's two way in the first year. All that does is give the team a little more flexibility. Look, I don't think there are many people in Calgary who think that he'll be sent down much at all, if at all, this year. Certainly the organization wants to take a bigger look at him than Devin Cooley at this point in time. But it's all about flexibility. Both him and Cooley are going to be battling, you know, I guess all three of them, Dan, Vladar, all three of them are going to be battling for roster spots in the NHL all year. And obviously some decisions are going to have to be made. I don't think many people would – it's pretty obvious you'd take an educated guess and say they'll probably start the season with Vladar and Wolf, but there's always a chance that Vladar's not ready. You know, all indications are that his hip surgery went well and that he's well underway with all his training and everything should be fine by the start of camp. But you never know. And then the second thing is, you know, let's see how they play in preseason. That's going to be a big, big preseason for all three of those guys.
Yep.
And, you know, I know Frank Cervalli tweeted out, and I think this raised eyebrows too, that it's going to be Dan Vladar is the starting goalie, and the other two guys will battle for the backup spot. And I don't agree with that necessarily at all. I think it's wide open. Look, Vladar will be here. There's only no question about that. But the other two guys, it doesn't necessarily mean that Vladar is the de facto starter. To me, from day one, it's whoever plays better is going to get more starts between Vladar and Dustin Wolf. All things being equal, I think Vladar will get more starts for sure. But I think it's all up to Dustin Wolf. His play will dictate how many starts he gets. Do you see it the same way?
I really do, and I think that is maybe the most exciting part about this season for the Flames is that it is going to be like that. And you know what? If Dustin Wolf is the best goaltender in training camp, I fully believe Dustin Wolf will start game one of the regular season. And if Wolf continues to be the best guy, then I think that they'll continue rolling him out as number one on the depth chart. And so that's exciting for a lot of people that have been clamoring for him to get more playing time. Well, he's got that opportunity to get that this year based on his play. He's got the opportunity. The door is open to do that for him. And I think that's exciting. But it's also exciting because, you know, we've got a guy in Calgary, in Dan Vladar, who is coming off major hip surgery that is supposed to transform his game. How much better is Dan Vladar? How much of a higher level is he playing at? And, you know, I know the Flames organization is super high on Devin Cooley and thinks there is a lot there too. So I just I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to play itself out, but I'm super intrigued to see how all three of these guys kind of push one another for playing time. Best case scenario, and you and I talked about this when we were on the phone a little earlier, but best case scenario, I'm with you, is Dustin Wolf wins the starting job at a training camp and by his play demands to start more games than anybody else on the roster. I think that is best case scenario for the Flames going forward.
Yeah, and hey, no one's going to sit here and say he's going to play 65 games or 60 games. Like, I think it'll be a pretty close split, if you ask me. Like, I'd be shocked if he played more than 45 games this year. But who knows? They don't want to put any sort of limits or windows on any of it. I do know that you don't want to happen what happened in Buffalo this year with Devon Levi, you know, where they went into the season and said, yeah, we know the kid's never played a day in the NHL, but we think he's ready to carry the load from day one. And it's a different scenario because he's coming out of college. And, you know, meanwhile, you got a player like Wolf who's already put in, you know, some great seasons in the American Hockey League, dominated at the previous two levels he's played at. And now it's just a natural time for, no matter where he was, you have to give him that moment now where he can just spread his wings and play as much as he deserves to play. So Devon Levi was a catastrophe last year in Buffalo, and it was the number one reason why a pretty talented, you know, up-and-coming team was nowhere near a playoff spot or not as close as they should have been. And it's because they put too much pressure on one young goalie who clearly wasn't ready for it. That's a different situation than Wolf, but I still think they want to be somewhat cautious and not, quote, throw him to the Wolves and have him play 65 games. That's not going to happen. Yep. So with a guy proven like Vladar, you know, I really do believe this year will be pretty much a 50-50 split between those two. I'm not sure you're going to see Cooley at all unless there's injuries. That's just the way I look at it.
You, what's your optimism level on Dan Vladar, knowing that he had the surgery? It might take a few months for him to get back to full speed, but what's your optimism level on what Dan Vladar might be all about this year?
I think he's going to be great. I think, you know, I've always thought that guy can be a starter in the National Hockey League from early on when he's been in Calgary. I mean, that's what I've thought. I thought one day he would kind of either succeed Markstrom or move on somewhere else as a free agent and be a starter somewhere else. I still think that's a very real possibility for the guy. I think he's got the size. He's got the work ethic. Everybody loves him in the room. He's a likable guy. But in terms of my optimism, listen, I'm not a big analytics guy, but the one thing, you know, one of the analytics that stuck out so much to me all year is that Jacob Markstrom, you know, led the league by a mile in save percentage and high danger chances.
Yeah.
But also the number of high danger chances. And we all agree that Markstrom was spectacular last year. You know, for at least the first 60 games, he was their MVP and, you know, kept them in so many games they probably shouldn't have been in. I think both these goalies have a Herculean task ahead of them to try and keep this team competitive. I really do. I think that they're going to face a barrage of shots that people in Calgary have not seen the likes of in a long time. They've lost the best shot blocker in our era in Chris Tanev. They've lost a great defenseman in Noah Hanifin, who's not averse to blocking shots. And now they're being replaced basically by a whole bunch of youngsters. You know, I think these guys are going to, quite frankly, I think they're going to get lit up. I, you know, I mean, the defensive core that used to be in front of this team
is not there anymore. And the lifeline that these guys were throwing from those defensemen is not going to be there. So I think Vladar is going to be solid, and I think Wolf, I'm optimistic about him too. But I don't expect spectacular numbers from either of them, just because I think the defensive core has changed. The way they are going to play is going to have to change, and I'm not sure it's going to be for the better. I really don't. Like, I'm not saying this team's going to finish last in the NHL or anything like that, but there is a rebuild afoot, and it starts with the blue line. Do you think I'm completely nuts to sit here and tell you that I think these guys are going to face shots that they've never faced before?
Yeah, I don't think you're out to lunch when you say that. It's going to be a really interesting year to see. You know, that we know they're going to work hard, and we know they're going to buy in, but like, are they going to be able to be a competitive group most nights? Is this blue line that, as you mentioned, has taken a big hit from year over year, and you lose those type of players? I mean, you take a look at the blue line that they started with in October of 2023 to where they'll be in October of 2024. It's night and day, and so over the course of a full season, I think there's a pretty decent chance that they do end up bleeding more high quality scoring opportunities than we've seen in the past. So I don't think you're out to lunch on that front at all.
And like, you know, you use the word, you know, can they be competitive nightly? Like, I think this team, this is not the San Jose Sharks, right? I mean, this is not a team that's going to lose by six goals on a regular basis. I do think they're going to lose a whole lot more games than they're going to win. I mean, I don't think that's ridiculous to suggest. You know, I know management and people in the organization are still hopeful that if a lot of different things come together, if Huberdeau bounces back, and if Mantha's a real nice fit with him, and if some of the new defensemen really flourish in new roles, and there's a lot of ifs there. And whether a lot of them come together or not, I still think this is a team that would be very hard-pressed to finish anywhere better than seventh or eighth worst in the league. Like, you know, and I think that's a good thing. And I think a lot of people agree it's a good thing. I know management still wants to be competitive and try to make the playoffs, but the reality is, you know, I think you could finish seventh last this year, fifth last, get a pretty good draft pick, and still be proud of the season you've had and the development that is to come with that. So, you know, it's such an interesting time in Calgary, because for 30 years, they've never been in this place. Like, I just don't remember anything that's close to the scenario that we're painting now, because they finally ripped the Band-Aid off last year. They were forced to rip the Band-Aid off because of all the free agents. They're all gone, and now it's a whole different ballgame. And that's not to suggest it's not going to be a fascinating, intriguing season, or
it's
not.
Just different.
I'm not suggesting. Yeah, just different. And I'm not saying it won't be entertaining. There are going to be nights when Dustin Wolf is going to make 49 saves, and they're going to lose 6-3, and the next day everyone's going to be talking about how great Dustin Wolf was, and that's okay. I think that's a really good scenario. I think a lot of people think it's the perfect scenario if we see these great efforts from Pospisil, Zeri. Who knows what other youngster might crack the lineup? Some great young defenseman starts to really shine, like Miramanov takes over the power play, and they lose 4-3 on a nightly basis. I think most people would be pretty thrilled with that.
Yeah. He's Eric Francis. My name is Pat Steinberg. It's the Eric Francis Hour as we continue along on this Friday Flames Talk. Eric Francis Hour brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We're continuing along on this Friday. It's the Eric Francis Hour for Horse Racing Alberta. Steinberg and the one and only Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. I'm here at the Rogers Charity Classic, by the way, as we continue along from Canyon Meadows. And Eric, you know, one thing that you and I have not spoken about since the news came down, since the news that you broke came down about, that's almost a month ago now, when you put the news out that they're going to break ground for Scotia Place, the brand new event center in downtown Calgary. It's been about a month since you put that out there on Twitter. A few days later, they had the big event, the big news conference, and dude, what? I don't know if I actually thought this is going to happen in my lifetime, but there are shovels in the ground and real construction underway for a replacement for the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's actually happening.
Yeah, it's my overwhelming thought on it is it's going to be worth the wait. Like I know that there's some short-term pain over the course of the 15 years or so that this thing was being bandied about between Ken King and various mayors and other stakeholders. But listen, when that rendering came out, when those renderings came out at that press conference, like, I think the building looks spectacular. I think the big thing that I wasn't expecting that. Everyone had told me and had said all along, on and off the record, like, because you remember the last renderings, for a far more muted, you know, arena / event center, you know, it looked like a Walmart. Like, it just didn't look like, it wasn't iconic. And I know that we're never going to see the likes of another saddle-shaped building again, but, you know, I was at least hoping that it would be something that we could all factor into the cityscape and be proud of. And I think it definitely is that. And the story that came with it, with the help of some of the Aboriginal leaders that they had, that they were consulting with, the fire and ice theme and air and water, and they worked it all in and they factored in the mountains going from west down to east, and you know, the building goes from high to low, west to east. I just thought there was a lot of symbolism that was really cool, but forget all that. It's just aesthetically pleasing with that big cauldron at the top. And
yep.
And I you know, there's a balcony out front where people are going to be on a, you know, when the weather's nice for a month of the season, people build on a patio before the game as people walk in underneath. I just think this is an $800 million arena. And if memory serves, the one that they nixed at Christmas a couple of years ago, that when the Flames backed out because of escalating costs, I believe that was a $575 million building, you know. The whole project's $1.2 billion, but the arena itself is far grander in scale and scope than the previous one was. And that, to me, just is a reminder that this was worth the wait. You know, the ownership's decision to bow out a couple of years ago, to me, proved to be very prescient. And I think it was something that people should be really happy about, as frustrating as it was. They finally got the building they wanted, the building they feel they deserve. And when I say they, I should really say we as Calgarians. So this is going to be spectacular. I think the decree from the chief designer when I spoke with him was this will be the state of the art, the gold standard for arenas in the world. And it should be. Given the way technology's gone and the price that they're paying for this, every building should be the best of its kind when it's built. And in 5 years from now, there'll be a better one built. But man, I think everyone should be so excited about it. And I keep hearing little details like they're going to take the goalie mask from outside of the Saddle Dome and they're going to put it inside the retail shop, one of the retail shops inside the Saddle Dome.
Nice.
Like little details that are starting to leak out are really exciting to me. And we're going to hear a bevy of them from now until the time it's open in 2027. And, you know, no more wondering. It's just absolutely going to happen. And I'm with you. I can't believe it's actually happening. And I drove by, two weeks ago, and there's a hole in the ground, and that's exciting.
Yep. Yeah, it's the most exciting hole in the ground that I've ever seen because of what it means for this city. It's so awesome that it's finally happening, and I can't wait. Have you got any intel on where the new hot stove lounge is going to be? Has that leaked out to you yet?
No, but I, you know what? I know enough people involved in it that I'm going to be bending all their ears. I keep trying to tell them all how I think the press box should be designed too, and I'm sure no one's going to listen to me, but it's just exciting. And like, I'm interested in, from your perspective, like, what stuck out for you? Was it the same thing that, oh my God, that's actually a beautiful looking building. If they pull it off, it's going to be just spectacular. Because I've always said about Edmonton is like, I think theirs from a drone, from the outside, a teardrop is gorgeous. I think from the inside, they screwed it up in so many different ways. What stuck out with you when they made the announcement and you saw the rendering?
Well, I think that the actual, like, as you, all those details you just talked about, the cauldron and some of the aesthetics on the outside, like, it looks like a world, the renderings look like it's going to be a world-class looking building, right? Like, just the look of it looks like it's going to be iconic. And yeah, it's not going to be a saddle-shaped thing that, you know, kind of punctuates a downtown skyline view. It'll be different, but still iconic. And so that was really exciting. But the renderings inside look awesome as well, because it looks like, to your point, they're not going to make it as cavernous as Rogers Place is in Edmonton. And that, to me, is something that I think is a big lesson to be learned. I do think, as beautiful as the Oilers home rink is, and they've got a lot of things right, I do think it's a little less intimate than Rexall Place was, or the Saddle Dome is right now. And to keep that intimate feeling, I haven't been there, you have, but you know, everybody raves about Little Caesars Arena or whatever it's called in Detroit. And how they made that a, like, it feels like that's where hockey's supposed to be played, and they got that right. That's kind of the feeling I got from the renderings of the inside of the building too.
And HOK is the designing firm, and they did Little Caesars Arena. So that's exciting to me that the Flames identified that and the Montreal Arena as the two arenas they most wanted it to resemble on the inside in terms of the steepness of the seats and everything. And this firm knows all about, you know, they absolutely nailed the arena in Detroit. You're right, it is the best arena in the league in terms of the design. And if it's anywhere close to that in terms of the way they execute it, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm over the moon about it.
Yep, I'm pretty excited. And then I guess the last part and the last kind of topic for you and I, just quickly, is, are they going to be a competitive group? Are they going to be where they want to be when the Flames move in a little bit more than 3 years' time, when they move in for the fall of 2027? Are they going to be a competitive group and ready to, you know, fight for a playoff spot or more? And you don't have the answer to that question. I don't have the answer to that question. But that is kind of the big rhetorical question as we move towards its completion, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you'd like to think they will be, because I have a sneaking suspicion, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I have a sneaking suspicion that the price of everything inside that building is going to be a little higher than at the Saddle Dome, from beers and tickets to, you name it, everything's going to be more expensive. So it's going to be a tougher sell maybe to some degree, but on the flip side, everyone's going to be so excited, you know, to be inside it, experience it. It's going to be good. There is one misnomer. I did a lot of media after it came out. A lot of people said, well, do you think this will help the Flames attract more free agents? I think that is one of the more ridiculous notions out there. You have to have a really good arena as a baseline for it to not be an issue. But it's not the sort of thing that a player says, man, I just want to play in that building in A, B, C arena, wherever that is, and I'm going to sign with this team. Like, it is such a tiny part of the whole picture. It now at least puts you on par with other teams when you're vying for free agents. It doesn't put you over the top. That's for sure. That's a ridiculous notion.
Okay, before we wrap things up on the Eric Francis Hour, the Eric Francis Hour, as always, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is every Friday and Saturday at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly. We've got a big announcement to make before we wrap things up on the Eric Francis Hour. It's awesome to have the EF Hour back. And speaking of Eric Francis, there is another event. The Eric Francis Hour is a weekly event, but what about the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout? Do we have a an Eric Francis Pizza Pigout date ready to rock and roll, sir?
Yes, so you do, my friend. Thanks for hyping it and making it sound like it's a big announcement. It's not, but it's exciting. You know, I think it's the 22nd annual. We've raised over $1.2 million for our city, well, namely Kids Sport Calgary, for kids in our city to play sports who otherwise wouldn't get the chance. So this year's Pizza Pigout will be October 17th. It's a Thursday. The Flames play two nights before that at home and two nights after that at home. So there's no excuse or reason to suggest that it'll be too busy that week. Come on down to Cowboys. And it's unlimited pizza from, you know, pizzerias around the city. We'll have like between 500 to 700 pizzas. You can sample all sorts of and find your new best pizzeria that you're going to visit and support. And it's all in the name of Kids Sport. And tickets are available right now. And we've always put up a bunch at the beginning as early bird specials. And you end up saving some money if you get the tickets early. So if you go to EricFrancisPizzaPigout.com, you can buy your tickets to the Pizza Pigout. The 22nd annual goes October 17th. And I know you'll be there, my friend. You guys are always so great to broadcast live from the event. And, you know, we got all sorts of people from the hockey world, the football world, the sporting community at large just wraps its arms around this thing and pigs out. So I thank everybody for their interest and hope that everyone will be back again this year to help us pig out in for a good cause.
The Eric Francis Pizza Pigout for 2024 is October 17th at Cowboys. And tickets go on sale like tonight. Is that what we're talking about one more time?
Right now, yeah, they wanted to make it live the minute I announced it on the radio. So if people want to get their tickets, log on now, because the early bird tickets do sell out, and they do sell out quite quickly. So if you want to save a few shekels, get on there right now, get your tickets, and we'll see you there. Get your apron and get ready to pig out.
Okay, Eric Francis, pizzapigout.com is the website. October 17th for the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout. EF, it's great to have the Eric Francis Hour back, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. Good to have you back in town.
Good to be back. He's Eric Francis. That's the Eric Francis Hour. That'll start to wrap us up on Flames Talk on this Friday. Thanks to Shan, Cam, Azam, everybody for making the show click here and tick here from Canyon Meadows on the Rogers Charity Classic. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.